Welcome to the My Journey to Fearless podcast with me, Laura Dixon. I'm here to show you that you don't have to keep settling for your crappy day job that means you're living the same average day over and over again. Every week I'll be sharing inspiration, practical tips and my own story to help you plan your escape so that you can stop settling and start living your most amazing life. So let's begin. Welcome to episode 6 of the How She Did It mini-series, where I'm interviewing 8 inspiring women who have kindly agreed to share their stories about how they found their passion and purpose, started their businesses and left their day jobs. Today I'm speaking to Victoria Rothwell, and Victoria is sharing her story of how she had her dream job traveling the world for 10 years, but later severe postnatal depression meant she had to close her business to focus on herself and her family. We talk about how she overcame postnatal depression, built herself back up, and started the most amazing new business that not only supports her family, but helps so many other mums too. This is one strong and inspiring lady. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the podcast. I'm really glad to have you here today.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thanks. Not bad.
I've just been reading your story to remind myself before we got on this meeting, and it's such a courageous and inspirational story, so I can't wait for you to be able to share it with everybody else.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And it just shows, like, no matter what hurdles come up in your life, you know, you can overcome them and you can end up somewhere really amazing and like really successful. So I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. And I think there's going to be a lot of pieces of your story that really resonate with people as well, with things they're experiencing at the moment. So do you want to just start with telling us like what your first career was? Because you were telling me like what you went to uni for and then what job you got and all of that stuff. Do you want to just start at the beginning?
Yes, so I've always been quite a creative person. So I went to university, did my degree in fashion textiles, and then after a couple of years of hunting down, I got a job in fashion and it was brilliant. I loved it. It was everything I thought it was going to be. And I did that for 10 years, traveled the world, which was great because you get to do it free of charge in essence.
Yeah.
And doing a job you love, it kind of was a win-win situation. And I used to split my time between Manchester and London, and then we do Far East travel and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was really good. It was everything I thought it would be. And I absolutely loved it. Yeah, it was my dream job.
that's amazing how you hit that first. The first job you had, like the first thing you did out of uni was like your dream job. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I was very lucky, very grateful that I had that for 10 years. But yeah, it was good. It was brilliant. Loved it. I miss it. But it was
good. So why did you change from that job? What happened that meant that you needed to...
So during those years of university and getting a job, etc., I then met my now husband, and we've been married 10 years. And along that road, you decide, oh, let's have a couple of kids and see how that goes and become a mum. We went down the road of starting a family. So I had my first child, my son, who is now 8. And I had quite a traumatic birth with my son, Teddy, which led to me contracting sepsis and us both nearly not making it to the rest of the world. And it was horrible, to be honest. It was the worst in the way that it was meant to be one of the most gorgeous things you ever do as a human, mm-hmm. or if you want to be a mum, it was one of the worst things I ever experienced, I have to say. I suffered from really bad PND after I had my son. Mm-hmm. And that went on for about 12, 18 months afterwards. There was no quick fix. There was no amazing remedy that would make it any better. And I missed out a lot of memories of my son when he was first 12 months. And if it wasn't for my husband, I probably wouldn't have those memories to rely back on. I do rely on him a lot to lead me to what happened in the first 12 months. And mm-hmm. what the places we went and the things we did, because it's all a bit of a blur. I have got memories that come back to me every now and again, but I do sometimes wonder if they're real or if I've just sort of made them up because I feel it's what should have happened when I'm a new mum kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the experience that it was meant to be. having my first child. And I did try and go back to work after I had him. He was about 17 months, 18 months old when I went back to work, but there was just something inside me that just wasn't right. Even though having him in the first 12 months wasn't the greatest, being away from him and going back to work didn't feel right. It just felt wrong. And I stayed at home with my son initially. And we did make some memories, and it was quite nice actually just to have that time with him that I thought I'd missed out on.
Maybe there was something telling you, just intuition, that you deserved that time, you needed that time with him after you'd missed out. Like I was
given a second chance, say, look, you don't need to be at work, just you need to be with your son, you need to make sure that you cement your bond together. So I went in and I just quit. Basically, there's no other way of saying that. When it was, I'm not doing this anymore, I quit, here's my notice, and I left. And I've never gone back to the fashion world again, so to speak. I suppose after that, and being at home with my son, and it was great, but I'm just not born to stay at home. I needed something else. So I did start my own cashmere label initially, which was my very first business, which I loved. Website was up and running. We were doing loads of like Christmas fairs and winter fairs, and it was amazing. And it's kind of given me that flexibility of being a mum, but also fulfilling my own ambition of doing something and keeping my brain going and having something else other than just being mum, having another identity, I suppose, and being me as well as mummy. And then thinking I was feeling amazing, thought, oh, let's have another baby. We did it again. aren't we? So we did it again. And this time we got told we were carrying twins.
I bet that was a surprise.
It was a surprise because I went into the scan very early at 9 weeks thinking I was having a miscarriage. So I'd gone from being pregnant to thinking I'd lost it. To then being told I was carrying twins, it was a bit like,
oh,
crazy, absolutely. Yeah. Crazy. And I just laughed when she told me I was carrying twins. I couldn't stop laughing, and I know it was a nervous laugh, but I hysterically started laughing. I couldn't stop myself. Didn't know what to do. So the twins came. They were born late August, twin girls. And it was great. I felt completely different this time. And I loved it. I had a little boy who was 3. I had newborn twins. And I felt great, to be honest. For the first 3 or 4 months, I felt great. And I felt I could do it. And I was doing it. And everything was fantastic. And then around when the girls were around 5 months old, I got diagnosed with PND again. And my whole world broke apart, basically. There's no other way of saying it. Sorry. I thought I could do this without crying. my whole world fell apart again for the second time. And along with my diagnosis of PND, my business folded. But I knew at that time that in order to take my life forward, I had to sort myself out. I had to be mum. first and foremost, I just had to make sure that my mental health was good, that I was stable, and that I was being the best mum I could be to my children that needed me.
Mm-hmm.
I went through a lot of therapy after the girls were born, a lot of therapy. And I got rid of everything else in my life that wasn't needed or didn't need to be. And I was very fortunate, because I know not every woman is. I was very fortunate that I could just concentrate on me and my children. I didn't need to think about anything else. And I'm grateful for that availability to me. I didn't have to worry. And I was very lucky, really lucky. So then I got over that. Can I say I got over that? I don't think you ever get over PND. I don't think you ever come out the other side the same person you went in. Never.
No.
But I felt more positive. I felt more together. I felt more connected with my children. I'm more connected with myself, that I thought now's a good time to take the next step, I guess, and decide what it was that I wanted to do, mm-hmm. or how I wanted to live my life, I suppose. So I knew I wanted to be a mum because obviously I was there with these three babies and I knew that's what my job was or where my heart lied. But I knew in my head that I needed something else. And that's okay, but it took me a long time to come to terms with that. It took me a long time to accept that I am a mum, but it's okay for me to want something else or something more or something for me.
And you don't have to feel guilty about that.
Yeah, and it did take me a long, long time to accept that that was okay. That, I mean, people pass judgment all the time, but when you stop listening to those judgments and start just being who you want to be, then everything else goes out the window and you're like, forget it. I'm doing this. This is the right decision for me, my children and my family. And that's all that matters. And that's exactly what I did.
And you're the only one who knows what that right decision is. And you're the only one who knows what you need yourself to be that person who's well and healthy and who can be there for everybody else as well.
Definitely. Definitely. I did try to stay at home, mum, because I thought, I need to be there for my children. And I think because I thought I had to be my everything, I had to be the everything for my children, and I didn't want anybody else to come in because I felt it was a failure if I had like somebody else looking after the children, I think that went towards making myself ill, basically. Putting myself in that, feeling that way about not wanting to be a mum because I put so much pressure on myself to be a perfect mum that had made myself in the process. And it was just, it was crazy, absolutely crazy. And only now where I can look back at what I'd done going, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? Or why did you do that to yourself? You are the best mum for those children because you've been given those children. So you're winning to start with. Before you put any other pressure on yourself, you're winning straight off because they are children and you are the right person for them.
I like that you said that.
It took a while to get there. I have to say, a long time to get there. But yeah, I'm in a more sort of connected place now, I guess, in regards to connected to my children, connected to my family, and then connected to what I want to do with my career and where I want that path to go. So yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
Thank you.
So what was your next business adventure then? Because I think once you've got a taste of it, you can't like not do it, can you? No.
As my husband keeps telling me, I'm now officially unemployable. Right, I am. I don't think I was employable in the first place, so I'm definitely not now. But yeah, my next step was, to be honest, I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew the one thing that I didn't like doing or that I didn't want to be doing was the domestic chores around the house. I knew that if there was one thing I could outsource initially, it would be to get some domestic help in. So I started looking for a cleaner or housekeeper or laundry, ironing, all of those kind of things. And there just wasn't anything that fitted what I needed it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a bit of digging, and like you do, and you start researching, you start looking into these things. And the more I delved into it, the more I realised that it wasn't the fact that there wasn't anything available that fitted my bill. It was the fact that the housekeeping industry was so unregulated, so unstable. And I'm thinking, that's not right. That's not the right way of doing it. There are loads of mums out there that I knew that did cash in hand cleaning, so to speak, because it was convenient, it was flexible, but they had no structure, they had no security, had no job security.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it because going back to a more conventional way of working wasn't flexible enough for what they needed. And that, again, didn't sit right with me. You shouldn't, after what I'd been through, I knew that it was wrong that women had to, I felt like they had to choose between being a mum and having a career or having a job. And that, again, didn't lie right with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I set up the Beautiful Method, which is initially an eco housekeeping service. But the very heart of it is that it's a mum, me, who wanted flexible working, who wanted somewhere to put her ambition and a career driven, and wanted to provide a stable and safe and secure working environment for other mums that wanted flexibility. And as a group of mums, in essence, we then help other families have their time back by providing them with a safe and secure housekeeping service. So they then can spend time with their family and do the things that they love, whilst we look after all the things that they don't love and they don't want to be doing. And in essence, I get the flexibility with my family doing the things that I love. My staff have the flexibility with their family doing the things that they love. And our clients also achieve the same. So it's a very much heart-centered of feeling business. And people say it shouldn't be emotive, but my business is very emotive.
Yeah.
I'm a mum. I help other mums with job security, and we help other mums with their domestic chores. And that's the blood that runs through my business. And it started from a not nice experience, but something so positive has come out of that. That's why I started it, and that's what we're doing. So yeah, we're providing housekeeping services.
I love that. And your mission though, it's amazing, because not only is it the perfect thing for you and then the perfect thing for the people you employ, but also it's the perfect thing for the people who actually like want your help as well. So it's like threefold, isn't it? And it's
it is very much.
Just amazing. It must be so rewarding.
It is when somebody says things like that, it is, and it makes you sit down and think, gosh, yeah, it is. I'm really fortunate, and I feel really grateful that it's worked out the way I wanted it to work out. But when you're doing it day to day, you get so caught up in the day to day that you don't sit down and realize, until one client rings you up and go, oh, you're so amazing, your teams are fantastic, I'm so grateful that you're in our lives. And until one of our clients does that, which does happen quite often, it's lovely, that's when you do sit down and think, actually, it is working. What we're doing is working. And I love that.
It's so good. And it's, I like how you said that it's come from something bad, but that it's going through that experience that you've been through allowed you to build this and help yourself and so many other people as well.
Yeah, it has. And the experience of PND at the time was horrific, both times. And I never thought I'd ever be in a position where I could use, or not use, but I could grow from what happened and make it into something like we've got now, something so positive. And it was never planned out to the letter the way it is now. It's just evolved that way through the team I've got in place, through the clients that we have, and through just wanting to help other people, or help other mums, basically. There's no point. I help mums be mums.
Yeah, I know, I love that. And you're taking it a step further, aren't you? Because you said in the information that you sent me that you're starting to franchise it so you can help other people start up their own businesses.
Yes, which again is just something that's not happened, but it's always sort of been like a bit of a pipe dream. Wouldn't it be great if we could take it further? And then in January last year, I met with a lady who has helped me franchise it out. Ideally, we've had COVID in the middle, but we'll just push that to one side. So we've developed this business model, or this operational model, that now works across the country. Well, across the globe, if we really wanted it to. But at the moment, it works across the country. And we had our first franchisee come on board in November last year. And to watch her and to support her and help her thrive and get excited with her when she gets new clients on board, it's like starting my business all over again, but with somebody else. It's such a lovely feeling when she rings you up going, oh, I've got a new client, or I've got some new staff. And it's I didn't think I'd feel like that. I don't know why I didn't know what to expect to feel like, but yeah, it's so exciting being able to help somebody again get the lifestyle that she wants and be a hands-on mummy to her son, and then further help other mums down in where she is in Bath get job security, and then again help other mums have the domestic chores taken away so they don't have to. It is amazing. It's just out of your wildest dreams. Would never expected it to feel this good.
No, and the growth is like endless. The possibilities are endless. The number of people you can help is like endless, isn't it? Like it could
it is, yeah.
It could be just massive.
Yeah, it's just like a chain mail of mums. when the paper cuts out, they all join hands. That's us. Just keep holding each other's hands and keep going. But yeah, I love it. I do absolutely love it, to be honest.
You can tell that you love it by the way that you talk about it, though, as well.
Thank you. But yeah, it's just the franchising side was, I don't know what I expected from that, but since Anna's come on board and working with her and helping her and just guiding her to do exactly what I've did, and just seeing her grow in confidence more than anything. When she starts, she's like, oh, I'm not sure that I can do it. And I'm like, you can. And now she's like flying and yeah, she's loving it. And it's just, it's so nice to watch somebody grow like that when you never, I don't know, that's never been in my sort of path from when you leave university. It was never really a thing. But yeah, to watch somebody grow like that has been incredible. Yeah, she's been.
I bet it has. And I bet there's only more exciting things to come with the next people that you take on, isn't there?
Yes, hopefully, yeah. We're still going. We're looking at franchises, places all over the country. It's just, we've got everything possible that they need. We'd literally train them up through everything, HR, finances, health and safety, marketing. We launch for them so they can hit the ground running, in essence. They spend 2 weeks in my business learning everything they possibly can from me. And then Anna and I at the moment have weekly calls just to make sure that if she's got any problems, she texts me all the time. If she's got any quick questions. So we're in constant contact. And if I had that support when I started my business or somebody offered me that support, I think I'd have snapped their hand off.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the speed at which Anna's grown her business compared to the speed that I grew my initial, well, it's tenfold, because obviously I'm giving her everything she needs to begin with. So it's not easier, because starting a business is never easy. Mm-hmm. You do need the gut and determination to get there. But yeah, she's getting there a lot quicker because I've made all the mistakes and learned from them. So she doesn't have to. But yeah, it's a crazy world. And did I ever expect to be in the cleaning industry when I left university? No, never. Is it the most glamorous place to be? Not all the time, no. But it gives me the flexibility and the financial freedom and the choices of how I spend my day and who I spend my day with. And that is what it's about. Yeah, cleaning is cleaning, but the options and the choices that cleaning business gives me and gives Anna now is priceless, absolutely priceless. It really is.
I was going to say it's priceless, and yeah.
I mean Anna and I at the moment, well, especially me, Anna will do when she gets into it, but I work 9 till 3 and I do all school pickups, I do all nativities, I do all sports days, not that they're going on at the moment, but I never wanted my children to be picked up by somebody else and offload their day onto somebody else. I always wanted it to be me. I wanted to be there at the dinner table so they can tell me about their day. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that, and I've done that since my son started nursery or school. And that is what my business allows me to do. And that is why I do it.
Yeah.
And it's cleaning was the most flexible option.
Yeah, but the mission, but you say like it's not the most glamorous thing to be in, but the mission behind it is amazing.
Thank you.
the difference that you're making is like huge. So it's the mission and the vision for what you're creating that's like the thing that everybody should be focusing on, isn't it? And exactly. the fact that you've created this freedom for yourself through this business.
Yeah, it is pretty, it's definitely exceeded any expectations I put on it when I very first signed that limited company dotted line. but yeah, it's definitely exceeded all of those.
So what would your biggest piece of advice be for somebody if they're kind of stuck in a job at the moment and they're not very happy and they don't really know what they want to do, or they don't like, maybe their job's like bash their confidence down and they think, well, I don't really know if I could do anything else. Like, what would you, do you have any advice that you would share with them?
I suppose it's, they need to not figure out, but I mean, they need to decide what it is they want, how they want to spend their days, basically, who they want to spend their time with, what they want to, when they go to bed at night, they want to lie in bed and think, do you know what, I've had a really good day today. And it's because I've done this, that, and the other. I mean, for me, it's like my decision to do the business I've done is because I knew I wanted to be around for my children. And my confidence when I started this business was under the table. It was like second to none. And I'm not just saying that. I'd had PND, I had all my confidence knocked out of me. I had anxiety that went through the roof. But I started small and I did it bit by bit. And I did it because I had my husband behind me saying, you can do this. You can do this. You've done it before. You've worked in fashion. You know you can do it. You just need a little push. And he did give me a little push, and now I'm giving Anna a little push. But yeah, it's, if you are feeling lacking of confidence and you're not sure where to go or what to do, then I would say to join a network of other women, not necessarily if they're in business or if they're an entrepreneur, but to have that support and community around you of other like-minded women that understand what you're going through, understand where you're coming from, then that to me is priceless, which is our next step in regards to the franchise network. We are trying to build that community for our franchisees to bounce off each other, to grow together, to be a part of something together, so you're not on your own. Because being on your own is the scariest thing ever, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm part of a few networks now, and I wish I'd joined them at the beginning. But you need to just throw yourself into that one group or one network of like-minded women. Even if you've got nothing to say and you don't know what you're doing, or you don't know if you want to get a new job or if you want to go down the entrepreneur way, being in that group would help you decide, would make you sort of gain a bit of clarity on where you want to go.
And you see what other people are doing, don't you? So it opens your eyes to like all the possibilities that are out there for you.
It does, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's like, in the groups that I'm in, there's women from all walks of life, like literally every job you could think of. And some of them are employed and some of them are on their journey to entrepreneurship. And some of them have got no idea what they want to do. But we're all together and we all chat together and we all bounce off each other and we all provide ideas for each other. And it will make you, it will help you, not make you, it will help you decide if you do just need another job in something else, or you do want to go down the route of, I want to start my own business. I want to have that flexibility. I want to have that freedom of choice. But yeah, that would be my first step, I think.
Yeah, that's really good advice. It's really good advice.
Because I mean, I know I don't mean this in a horrible way, but if you're a woman and you're a mum and you're juggling a million balls, there's only other women and mums and that get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be, depending on what your route in life is, whether you're a mum or you're a woman or whatever, you need to be with similar people to yourself. Find your group.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And what are the fears that you've had to overcome on your journey?
Half of them. What are my fears? I think my first thing I had to get over was the lack of confidence I had after coming out of PND. I would, when I had PND or when I was going through therapy, I cut all my friends off. Because it just not through spite or anything, just because I didn't have the confidence to hold a conversation with them. I'd rather stay at home and see no one. That way I was self-preserving myself and I didn't have to talk to anybody. I didn't have to pretend to be happy. I didn't have to pretend to put the show on. So I did lose a lot of confidence of just having a general conversation with people that I knew, basically. So that was my first biggest fear. And I've got no words of wisdom, because I just got up one day and said, right, if I don't fix this or if I don't help myself, then I'm never going to get any further on. And I did just throw myself into the business. Rightly or wrongly, that's what I did. I now work on my mindset every day. I'm part of a Real You program. We work on traumas that have happened in the past. We gain clarity. I work on myself daily and meditate. I'm on a spiritual journey and I'm evolving and I'm learning every day. If I'd have done that at the beginning, I'd probably be a lot further on than I am, but I didn't. I threw myself in and then I've sorted myself out afterwards, in essence. But yeah, to build, I work on my confidence every day. It's not a quick fix. It's not something that just happens. I'm yet to do a Facebook Live because I'm petrified. So it's little things like that, and I'm working on that, and I will do one, and I will get myself out there on the videos. But yeah, it's little things like that. It's just, to me, my biggest fear was my own lack of confidence.
And you're on here doing this podcast interview, first podcast interview.
But this again is just throwing myself in. This is me throwing myself in, thinking I could cancel this, and I've been tempted 5 or 6 times to go, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, no, you have to do it. You have to do it. If you do nothing else, you have to do this just to prove to myself that I can do it and that nothing bad's going to happen after I've done it.
So, exactly. And like, to share your story with other people, because that way you can have even more impact than you're already having, because you don't know who's going to hear this.
Like, no, that's,
when it launches or in like months to come, and what impact it's going to have on them. Something you say might just spark something within them, and it might just set them off on that right like mindset or the right path or something. So it's, I think that's why I'm doing this, really, to get women's stories out there to help other people.
It is good. It is nice. And I think my sort of thing to do my first one with you, I guess, was because you're part of the FEA, and it's, that again is a really good community. Whether you know your business or you don't know what you want to do with yourself, I've found it a really nice safe space being part of the community. And I think that's what's attracted me to put my name forward when you popped your post, and I was like, I can do that because you're part of the FEA. So she's going to be really
because you get that confidence around, you know that you're surrounded with like-minded people, like you said. So you know, they're going to be like nice people, friendly people, you know, and you're going to like vibe with somebody and it's going to be okay. You get that kind of reassurance, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And it's mad because obviously it's an online community, but yeah, it's done really well, and it's really sort of caring, I suppose, and it's a really nice part community to be a part of. I've really enjoyed it, but yeah, I probably wouldn't have done it if you weren't part of that.
Well, I'm glad I was, and I'm glad you are, and I'm glad we've had this conversation, because like I say, I know it's things that people need to hear, and I know that different aspects of it are just going to spark something within different people. So it's really important to get it out there and share your story with other people.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. It's been really lovely to chat with you.
Well, that's okay. So tell us, before you go, tell us, I know you've told us a little bit about your business, but tell us where people can come and find out more about you if they want to come and see what you do, and if they want to learn, like if they wanted to learn like how they could get your help or how they could look into this franchise idea that you've got going on.
So we've got a website, which is www.thebeautifulmethod.co.uk. on there is everything about our domestic services and also about our franchise opportunities. And there is a prospectus that we've got that you can download direct from the website on the franchise opportunities page. You can read my story in the Lion Pride book as well. And we are on Facebook, which is the Beautiful Method Franchising Group page. And also you can find me on LinkedIn, personal Victoria Rothwell on LinkedIn. We've got quite a few social media channels. Our main source is our website. Everything is on our website.
Yeah, and I will leave links to those things in the show notes for people, just to make it super easy for them to just click and be able to come over and find you on those different platforms. Brilliant.
Thank you. That's great.
So thank you for being brave and for coming on and doing your first podcast interview and for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for being so kind and having me on.
Sorry?
And just for being so nice.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. So how inspiring was that story? It shows that it's okay to prioritise ourselves and to focus on ourselves and our families. That doesn't mean you're giving up on all of your dreams. And here is the proof that you will make it to where you want to be, and you can do it. So keep going and keep believing in yourself. And if you would like help to find a business idea and take your first steps to starting a business, then go to myjourneytofearless.com/start here, where I have some freebies to help you. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week for episode 7 of the How She Did It mini-series.